rest of the story. Many of the men had been gone from their homes on the northeast coast of Japan that day and returned that evening, utterly unaware that anything remarkable had occurred. But what had in fact occurred was virtually indescribable. Every house was gone. Every house. No sign of life anywhere. Everything, everywhere, was wet, wet with ocean water. In what had been the streets lay dead fish. Along the shoreline, human corpses bobbed in the brine like wine corks. One party of astonished discoverers was greeted by an old man stumbling across the soggy landscape, muttering tsunami. Over and over again, he kept saying tsunami, tsunami. And that one word, of course, told it all. The coast had been hit by a tidal wave. This one in particular, 100 feet high, 100 feet high, had obliterated 10,000 homes, had taken 27,000 lives. It had struck at the height of a Shinto festival, during which many were gathered on the beaches. The last sight they beheld was recalled by a handful of terrified survivors. At first, the sea was pulling away from the shore. For long, curious moments, reefs and sea life lay exposed on what had been the ocean floor. But then everyone looked up to see the advancing wall of water that appeared to stretch out forever in both directions along the coast. And the wall rose higher and higher until it was 100 feet high. And then, with a burst of incredible speed, it rolled forward over the naked seabed and crashed into the coast, inundating it. And that was the great tsunami of June 15, 1896. Such phenomena could not be anticipated a century ago, and that accounts for the overwhelming death toll in northeastern Japan. Yet modern seismology enables us to predict precisely where and when a tidal wave will strike. Since earthquakes at sea are what trigger them, scientists can calculate a tidal wave's speed and force based on the strength and location of the earthquake from which it sprang. The biggest on record, for example, struck Valdez, Alaska in March of 1964. The earthquake that spawned that one measured 8.5 on the Richter. The wave itself was 200 feet high. And yet, despite the awesome appearance and destructive capability of so-called tsunami, there is something ultimately insidious about them. They fly across the ocean surface with terrifying speed, between 400 and 500 miles an hour. So how have they been sneaking up on us out there for centuries? The answer is in the story of the Japanese disaster you have just relived. For you see, the men who came home to find home gone were not hunters journeying from the hills back to the coast. They were fishermen returning from a day at sea. But they had no way of knowing what had happened. Even though the tidal wave had passed directly under their fishing boats. For you see, traveling in the open ocean, even hundreds of miles an hour, a tsunami is unlikely to attract much attention, if any. The cataclysm of June 1896 was no exception. In that, until the tidal wave reached the shallow water near land, it had raced across the sea as a wave only 12 inches high. And now you know the rest of the story.